Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Tuesday, December 13th, 2016. With me today, Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It comes and it goes, but in a very good way, mostly.
Okay, well, mostly. That's better than some. So good for you. John Martellaro, how are you?
I think, therefore I podcast.
Welcome to my world.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
At least not in this particular thread of our universe.
Right. And I'm betting in other threads of our universe, John has said things that are even more profound and even more true.
True that.
That's just how John rolls.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, or as our friends on the other side of the world say, Des Pravda.
Des Pravda, dudes. Hey, so we got the iOS 10.2 update, the Apple TV update. Oh, what's the version number on that? Is that 9.1, 4.1, something .1? I can't keep track anymore.
It's too much.
It's too much. Anyhow, so we got an Apple TV update yesterday. So now we have the TV app on Apple TV. We have it on iOS devices. And when Apple announced the TV app, I was pretty excited about this because, for me, it played into what you said, Dave, and I'll make sure there's a link to your piece about this in today's show notes, where you talked about how Apple TV is app-centric instead of content-centric. And the TV app is supposed to address that by becoming a nexus for all the content that we are watching on our Apple TV. So I was excited for it. And it's rolled out. And to cut to the chase for me, I've already switched the home button back to being home instead of TV app. Mm-hmm. And I've taken the TV app and I tossed it into a folder so I don't see it on the home screen. And that's where it will live for the foreseeable future.
Same here.
Sadly, same here. I was very excited about this TV app when Apple announced it.
So was I.
And then they started announcing how it was necessarily crippled and more crippled and more crippled. And it's really a shame because, as I mentioned in the piece you referred to, Jeff, I've experienced what the TV app should deliver, mostly. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that, and I've experienced it on TiVo, because TiVo allows a very show-centric view or content-centric view, not provider-centric view or app-centric view of the content that I want to watch, which makes sense. I pick the thing that I want to watch, and then TiVo gives me an option. It says, do you want to watch that on, you know, live TV if it happens to be available, or Xfinity on demand if it happens to be available, or Netflix or Hulu or whatever service might have that thing, including like Amazon Prime and all the others, anything I subscribe to, for the most part, TiVo supports. And Apple TV, that's not the case. Anything I subscribe to is likely not supported by the TV app, is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
There's no Netflix.
Right.
I have HBO Go, but it only supports HBO Now.
Yep.
And I was able to put Fox Now and CW into the app. Not because there's so much content that I'm watching on both of those networks, but because I actually could put them in. And that's it. So the app is actually so useless for me that I had to hide it, get it out of my way. And I'm so disappointed.
I have a question for you. Well, my question is, like, what would be the – whenever somebody's building something – you know, especially startups these days, we talk about MVP, minimum viable product, right? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that's the goal, right? Get this thing to MVP, and then we can either shop it around for more funding, or we can maybe release it. Whatever it is, we talk about MVP, and I feel like that metric has not yet been hit with the Apple TV app, the other things on the Apple TV work fine, mm-hmm. but this TV app, I feel like, isn't at MVP. So my question for you, if in fact you agree with me, is what does it take? What features does it take to make that MVP status for you?
Okay. And I hadn't thought about it this way, but you're right. That's exactly what I'm experiencing here. Okay. So what I need to see is all of my iTunes content, not just what I've purchased through the iTunes store. I need to have access to the content that they already have available through the apps that they have, but not just limited to those apps. And what I mean specifically is like HBO. If you can see all of HBO's content through one of their apps, you should be able to see it through both of their apps. And it feels like a slight that because I pay for HBO one way, I can't see my content. And then the other thing is they need to have Netflix in there because so many people watch content through Netflix that it feels like the app is completely hobbled. There's halfway all the way through this.
You have part of your
iTunes content. You have part access to HBO. You don't have any access to Netflix.
Yeah, that's the thing is it's not it. Like, we understand at some level, I mean, there's some questions we're still asking why about, and we can only speculate, but we understand where the limits are and how to draw the box and live inside it. We may not be happy living inside this box.
I want to talk about that. That's what I want to talk about.
We know where the lines are. What happens when non-technical user launches this thing and says, no, I can go over there and get my Netflix? Or even worse, you actually can jump out from the TV app to Netflix, but there's no data going back in. So the TV app doesn't know what you've watched once you went to Netflix. So it can't surface it in the up next thing. So yeah, it's like you said, it's a very hobbled experience, but it's not clear why it's hobbled. It's almost like it's obscured intentionally.
We hobble from hobble to hobble. We fixate our patterns. We deal with the situation. We get accustomed to working in a certain way. And if the next hobble were glorious and solved all our problems, we'd go, oh, this is cool. But what happens is that the next iteration is just as hobbled. And so we have to learn a new way of being hobbled. And that's frustrating for people who get, you know, accustomed to certain things. So it's an endless series of frustrations instead of an endless succession of improvements.
Right.
Right. And the confusion, I just tested something, John, while you were talking. I went and searched for Westworld, you know, the HBO series that everyone is raving about. And I can watch it on my Apple TV. But if I search for Westworld in the TV app, the results that I get back say that I can subscribe to HBO now, even though I have HBO Go. So it's not even recognizing that I have HBO Go, and that's a viable option for watching the show. So that's going to be really confusing for people who know they have content, or access to content, but are being told, no, you have to go get this other subscription to see it.
Yeah, so what happens to that person? There's this breach between what you think should be happening and what the marketing glorifies and what you end up actually receiving as a service.
So what if I have HBO? Sorry, John, I apologize for stepping on you.
No, I think it's a little bit of Skype delay.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it could be. Yeah, yeah. So what happens if I pay my cable subscriber, my cable company, Comcast, for HBO Go, right? Mm-hmm. And then I go and I want to watch this thing inside of, I want to watch Westworld. And so I get there and the Apple TV says, you need to subscribe. And I thought, oh, I thought I already did subscribe. Maybe my subscription lapsed. So I will subscribe again. I don't want to miss this. So now I subscribe here. Now I'm paying HBO twice.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is reconciling that. I mean, it's up to me as the user to reconcile that, but I won't even see it on the same bill, right? That one of them will be sort of buried inside the line items on my Comcast bill, and the other will be probably an in-app purchase from Apple, so, you know, buried over there. It may take me a long time before I realize, oh, holy crap, you know, like now I watch a little bit of this inside of the HBO Now app that does surface things into the TV app for the Apple TV. And then someday I launch HBO Go. And now I'm out of sync on my episodes because these are two separate accounts. I can see this happening.
I can see this happening, too.
Yeah. It's just a, I get it. Apple's trying to, you know, bushwhack their way into this market, and it's rough going. They can't get everything they want. They're obviously, Apple's aware of the frustrations, or at least some of the frustrations that this causes people. I know they're frustrated by it, but the solution isn't a solution. It's yet more confusion. I don't think this was a smart thing for Apple to release. Now, maybe they felt like they had to in order to continue bushwhacking right down this path and hopefully finding a clearing at some point. But my fear is that this will turn people off from the platform. Again, you know, us here and everybody listening aware enough that We'll just sort of, like you said, you dismissed the app, you put it off into App Siberia on your phone, but you're going to keep on top of this. And when they do announce something that maybe for you makes it MVP status, great. Okay, now you'll bring it back out of Siberia and you'll use it.
Right, but I'm in the echo chamber. What about Correct. The people who aren't?
Right.
Yeah, and they will have stopped using the app or moved on to another device completely. And yeah. They just won't know, and that's that.
That's right.
You know, on one hand, I feel like I'm being whiny and cranky and acting self-entitled inside our echo chamber. But on the other hand, I feel like Apple has really stumbled with this service. It just isn't there. And I feel like it's come out prematurely because it is so hobbled right now.
Well, I think one of the reasons that we have so much choice is because we're in a transition period. We're in this transition from cable and satellite into internet television. And the content providers have to make sure that they manage properly the revenue stream from all these devices and get themselves situated properly for internet television, because there'll be a time when we no longer have dishes and no longer have coaxial cables stringing from telephone poles into our house. It'll be all internet-based television. But in that period of transition, there are contracts and there are arrangements and there are partners. And so one of the ways to deal with this is to make sure you maximize all possible sources of revenue. And that creates too much choice. And too much choice leads to buyer's remorse and confusion. So my optimistic view is that this will settle out in the future when we're not depending on a dual mode television experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the meantime, will Apple be able to weather that, or is the TV app, and by extension Apple TV, going to be a casualty of this transition phase?
I just wish Apple would focus on better hardware. Every day I read some tweet or an article about somebody delivering their 4K service, and Apple seems to be dead set against delivering great 4K plus HDR hardware for this Christmas, and it's really annoying a lot of people.
I think we're all supposed to take a shot, right, when John mentions 4K?
Every time. every time, Dave. I haven't had that many yet.
Hey, iOS 10.2 is what came out for the iPad and iPhone and those types of things, and the iPod Touch 6G yesterday. iOS 10.1 is what came out for Apple TV 4.
Ah, so, okay.
That makes it nice and clean and easy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. You know, John, you talked about this this divergent experience and how it's this kind of this thing that all needs to come together as one. There's one part of it that is too much of one and not enough of multi. And that is, there is absolutely no support in the Apple TV or tvOS itself for multiple users.
No,
certainly
there be.
Oh, see, here's the I think there definitely should be, because here's the deal. When I launched the Netflix app, regardless of where I launch it, and including Netflix.com, if I do it in a web browser, I log into my account, and because I have four profiles, one for each member of my household, in the app, it asks me, who are you? And I identify myself as Dave, and then I have my own shows and all of that. Now, because of the class of account we pay for, we can have two simultaneous streams going at any given point in time. So, and that works for us. When I launch it on Apple TV, I am asked the same thing. However, when I launch the TV app for the first time on Apple TV, it tells me I have to log into my iCloud account and that it will only show me things in the up next or watch now or whatever it is, the lists that they have. It will only show me things that are linked to that iCloud account. If there were ever a device that is multi-user at its core, it's the television. So
No. The television is a family device.
Yeah.
There's one tech guru in the household. Everybody else has to live at the whim of the tech guru.
And you've never been to my house.
John, 1950 is calling.
And you don't have an account and you don't know the password, you ain't going to watch television that night.
John, I'm going to disagree with you. With love, of course. Okay, so the television as a single point for all people in the family, that's something that was ingrained in us as a culture in the 1950s, because televisions are expensive. No, there wasn't much on.
There's two dimensions of it here. You're looking at one dimension. Well, I'm looking at the other dimension.
Okay, now let me get to that other dimension. Okay. from a purely television standpoint. By the 1980s, the price of televisions had come down enough that it was reasonable for people to have multiple televisions. And at that point, families fractured off into their own rooms to start watching television. And that paradigm has carried over into the streaming world, where people have their iPads and their Macs and whatever of their iPhones, whatever else they want to watch television on, and they still watch what they want to watch, and it's much less of a family activity than it was decades ago.
Well, if you want to log on to your iPad and log on to your Amazon Prime account and watch what you want to watch, that's great. And people do that. But I'll tell you, when people have an Apple TV connected to their 4K television and their TV system, they're not going to log on to an account to watch television.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a barrier.
Yeah, that's what people do right now.
That's what people do. Netflix has had great success with this. It really is a simple thing. When you launch Netflix, or when I launch Netflix, because I've set up multiple profiles, when I launch it on the Apple TV, I have the Apple TV remote. My iPad's not part of the picture or anything. It shows me four big blocks.
But you only have to click on it. Apple TV remembers your password and submits it.
Okay,
correct.
But if you're in a system where you have a profile on your Apple TV and you've logged out as user one, and if somebody else comes into the room and they have to log in with a user ID and password,
that's a ridiculous.
They don't have to do that, John. Yeah. They do it just like Netflix now.
You're saying you want to make it log on just like Netflix user accounts. Yeah. Once you log on, it remembers, and then you switch profiles.
Yeah, just it's profiles. I don't necessarily need passwords and walls put up.
What if we're watching a TV show on your profile and now we want to watch it on my profile? We have to click out of your profile and click into my profile, no password, and change profiles in order to access my content.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
And then we're sitting there all evening arguing about whose mode we're going to be in.
That argument has never happened in my house.
Well,
John, my guess is that this is no different than the argument that people had decades ago, which is, I want to watch this show tonight. No, I want to watch this show tonight.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Once we as a family have made a decision as to what show we're going to watch, we sort of know. You're right. We have there's two or three things that we watch that are in different Netflix profiles. And so we just have to remember that if we're going to watch House of Cards, that's in my profile.
But 15 minutes ago, you complained about having to remember all this stuff to function in a TV world.
But profiles make sense. Absolutely. Well. And I could even have a fifth profile that is the family profile. So this is the thing that we watch together, and here's these things.
Are these different profiles served by different Apple IDs?
No. Yeah. Well, in my make believe world, you're saying not on Netflix. I'm talking about
in the make believe world on Apple TV.
Yeah, they could be
different Apple IDs. They could be, different
but I
profiles.
Don't think they necessarily would have to be.
No, but that would be a smart way to do it, because that way it is synced with your individual devices and that sort of thing. So that if you happen to watch an episode of something in the TV app on your iPad on the airplane, now you get home and log into your profile select your profile, for lack of a better term, on your Apple TV in the living room, and it knows that you've watched this.
How do you remember which content is in which profile? It's a mess. I just don't see it as a great user experience.
You don't use Netflix with families, do you, John?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Netflix has solved this problem.
Netflix has really nailed it.
I agree that there are potential UI pitfalls to this, or UX pitfalls, I should say, user experience pitfalls, but they are not unsolvable, and Netflix has proved that.
I agree completely. I live alone. But I have multiple profiles on Netflix, and that's because I have nieces. And so they have their profiles when they want to watch television through Netflix, and they're here, they can just hop in, pick their profile, and go. And it's great. It works really well, and the confusion that you're worried about, John, really hasn't ever been an issue.
I suppose it depends on how tech savvy the people are who want to create and maintain profiles. I mean, if everybody's a tech guru and everybody's well schooled and everything about the system, that's great. But I fear that the average user, when he gets the Apple TV home from the store and plugs it in and starts operating it, is looking for great simplicity, and anything that's a friction point is going to be a problem.
Like not being able to figure out why the content you're already paying for, you can't get at through the TV app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're out of time. As much as I would love to keep going with this discussion, we have to wrap up. Dave, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, I love when we get to have friendly disagreements on topics. John, thank you for being here today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And thank you for being such a sport and letting us disagree with you.
TDO rule, 2-1. Yeah, which Dave did not adhere to the other day, right?
No. John Donahue at Backbeat Media, he made me a t-shirt recently that says, I'm not a control freak, but can I show you the right way to do that?
That's awesome.
So I think that applies here too.
Yeah. And that was a wonderful discussion. So thanks for being on. Listeners, thank you for joining us, and we'll see everyone again tomorrow.